Hello, and welcome to episode 205 of Checkpoint Chat. My name is Alessandro Barbosa, and I'm joined by Matthew Figuera.
Sunday late afternoon.
Look at your hair. Hair's even gone on a siesta. It's just decided to sleep. It's lost its curls.
It's just having
its own party in front of it.
Oh my god. I didn't even look at that until now. I'm going for a haircut tomorrow.
I was about to say, when last did you get a haircut?
Like 3 months ago, four months ago.
Are you going to the regular?
I am. Look at this. Like nice. If I had straight hair, I'd have the most beautiful Malay. As they say.
My god. I swear on one of your streams you straightened your hair. It was a while ago.
Yeah. So when Twitch introduced you could do like community goals.
Yes.
One of them was donate enough points and get my hair straightened.
Do you no longer do those?
Oh, man, I just haven't thought of anything.
The one I always used to burn points for were to force you to take off your glasses, which was fun until I realized you could see.
Yeah. That's still there, but so this is a persisting. You know, this month you can donate your points towards unlocking this goal.
So that was the thing, not
like a activation or whatever the hell you want to call it.
But there was an activation that was quite pricey to like shave your knees. I don't think anyone ever actually did that.
It's ludicrously priced for a reason. I think Cello thoughts, you know, he's gonna save for it and try his best, but he ended up saving so many points and then going like, I'm never gonna hit this, and then just burns it on show me a cat. Points.
that's a good one. What about shave the cat knees? Would that be constituted as torture? So, probably.
Show me where the knees are on your cat and we can talk. Think about that. Where do they? I don't have knees.
I don't know. I plead the fifth on figuring out where cat knees are.
I should do that as a trap though. Like shave your cat's knees 10 points. And people are like, okay, do it. I'm like, okay, where?
Yeah, where's the cat knees?
It, show me where.
If you can't give me the correct anatomical position, then I cannot shave these knees.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Good lord.
Do you think cats have knees or do they have elbows?
They've got neither.
What do you mean neither? They have a hinge on their leg. There's no way that it's just a straight fucking like bone. Like,
it is funny to imagine cats jumping up walls without like springing. They just like launch.
Like, how do they jump if they can't bend their back leg? Like, come on.
Maybe it is an elbow, but it doesn't look like. It's not like they bend their arms like this. You know what I mean? I can't imagine my cat like when it has an itchy face just like scratching itself with the bendable
just like with
elbow.
The straight arm just like you know, like if you've ever gone to the gym and you've like hurt your arms and then they're just stiff and you try and do something and you're just like fuck. Like you can't.
Haven't
do anything.
You ever watched your cats like clean their tummy?
Oh, it's true. They put their legs straight up, like into the air.
It's the best because Luna's so round, she does what we like to call her fat sit. a little round cat just sitting on the floor, just like.
I know exactly what you mean because Toby does the exact same thing, and it fucking kills.
It's the best.
It is so funny. I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, and the best he's sitting with his legs them. Like fucking spread eagle and just like licking his stomach.
But interrupt them when they're halfway through. Then they look up at you like. Did you say something? Like,
yeah. No? Is there something you want? Please leave. I'm busy here.
Carry on.
Cats, man. Cats are absolute fucking assholes, but I love them so much.
I loved. I shared that one image this week.
That comic was great.
But it's basically like cats are literally the devils, but we
it's
love
like,
them.
Cat, you've made a mess. You can't keep doing this.
I hate you.
Yeah, it's like I hate you, but I'd die for you. But you're ruining my life.
Like it's so true. It's so accurate. My goodness. God.
And the cat is so like expressionless in that comic. It's fantastic.
No.
The cat doesn't give a shit.
Nail meets head.
Yeah.
Just got it. Sure, it's a Sunday afternoon. You were away. Well, not
yeah,
away.
I was well, away were, this past week.
You were away in another country, the country of Benoni.
Fucking East Rand.
My brother lives there too. It's far.
Yeah, I actually should have gone to visit him because I was, well, not coincidentally enough, I recommended the great guy who helps around the house with our garden.
Yeah.
And I recommended him to Mark, your brother, and yeah, he works there now as well. So I was actually chatting to him about your brother the other day. I was like, oh, he's, you know, learning a lot about your brother's house. He's actually a spy, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, he's either a spy or he's going to just be ruthlessly honest with you. Be like, yo, that guy, what a dick. Like, don't forget that you podcast with his brother.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
don't pass that information on.
It was, I just had to house it and stuff. So it was fun. It was lonely because it was just me because Shani had to stay. He had to stay, take care of the cats.
It was lonely. It was just you and like 35 dogs.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's true. It's true. It's like, I can actually do a count. It's 8 dogs now. It's actually kind of sad because it's like, I remember what the count used to be.
Yeah, it was way higher.
Yeah, it was way higher. It was almost double that at one point.
Sure.
So it's 8 dogs. It's now 4 cats, not 5. Sure. 2 ducks. 3. Well, it was 3 chickens. Now it's 5 chickens. Lots of chickens.
I was trying to say. It was 3 chickens, but Nana's
then I got hungry. Yeah. No, it's a shame. The chickens are pretty cute. The one is a rooster. That thing is huge. It actually terrorizes our Yorkshire Terrier because it's so much bigger than it. It's so funny.
Shame.
Yeah. No, but it was fun. But that's why we couldn't record yesterday was because I was away still. I only got back last night and then
The format of this episode is going to differ very slightly in that we are likely going to skip over the news because it has been a week and we are tired and it's funny because I know, yeah, we've got so many games to talk about, but I know that this comes out on Monday anyway and it would make no difference in this time capsule, but I look at the news and I'm like, oh, I just have no energy to get through it. I mean, we have one piece of news we can talk about.
We can talk about it now. Fucking Geralt of Rivia is changing. What the hell?
It's changing. He's becoming Superman. What's
absolute
going on
nonsense.
Here?
So if you somehow missed this news, Henry Cavill is stepping away from the Witcher series after, well, season 3 is finished filming. And I think that's coming out next year sometime. I'm not sure. Is it this year?
I don't think it's this year, but it can't be that far. I remember watching season 2 over December last year.
Yeah.
And I know they don't do it every year, but I mean, we're in November now, or just about.
I just Googled Witcher season 3 and I'm already in, like, all I see is Liam Hemsworth everywhere. I just kind of fucking want to know what date this thing's out. Yeah. Oh, it says summer 2023. So I was right.
Okay, so
it's like middle of next year
sometime. Yeah.
So yeah, so that's all done, and then after that, season 4, it's going to be Liam Hemsworth, Chris Hemsworth's younger and less talented brother, taking over from Geralt.
It's hilarious that Thor's younger brother is going to be Geralt, while Geralt goes on to be Superman.
It has to be Superman. Surely it has to be. Like, what other reason would there be for him leaving than like, oh yeah, I'm back as Superman and now I have obligations.
I don't know. I saw some comments from people going like, oh no, he doesn't like how the show's deviating from the source material and this is his way out. And I'm like, I highly doubt
that that's the reason, but okay.
I'm like, people pretty sure he was a big part of why this show exists in the first place, because he's a big advocate of The Witcher. So I don't know. We'll never know, but yeah, it also hasn't deviated
as much as people think. Yeah. People who say that are people who have actually not read the books. They've just played the games.
I don't know. Reading any social media thread is eye-opening on how little people know, because it's a thing of like, I can't believe people have done this. People should be fired. I'm like, maybe it is just a schedule conflict. Like, we don't know. We don't know.
Listen, it's kind of shit because I think Henry Cavill, like Henry Cavill is a big reason why the show even exists.
And to not have him there is
it's a bummer. Something. And if it is because of Superman, that's kind of shitty. Because I think like Warner Brothers treated him like absolute shit when he was that character before. So what's to say that that's going to change now? I'm just seeing here, sorry, on Steam, good old John Michael Michaels booted up Dota 2. You'd love to see it.
I should message him and be like, oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Probably watch the international and is like, I could play a game.
Hang on, isn't the final happening now?
It or finished it already. Yeah.
Who won?
Tundra, whatever. Tundra Sports.
Oh, so not Puppy. Boo.
No, they fucking wiped them. It was 3-0 in the grand finals. It was ruthless.
Stop it. They're dead already.
Yeah, it was bad. They knocked them down to the low bracket and then they came back up and just absolutely wiped them. Yeah.
Shame, man.
I think that's only ever happened once in the TI finals where it's been a 3-0 rinse. So that's it's a real shame there.
3-0 rinse. It's like Tundra takes like a team secret out of the fridge and just rinses it off.
Then puts them back in the fridge.
For next year. Oh my God.
Yes, Henry Cavill.
Nice.
He's not going to be Geralt anymore. So that sucks.
Hate to see it.
That's your news for the week there. Hope you're happy.
Cool. Nailed it. Got it.
I mean, we've got a lot of games to get through. Chicken Chat to talk about video games. It is proper, proper crazy season when it comes to game releases. I think this week, between last episode and this episode, I think we got 3 codes.
Yeah.
Is that right?
So we're going to rattle off. We're playing God of War.
We got a code for God of War, like I think just before we recorded last week. So we hadn't started.
Previews did go up by then, but we had not nowhere near enough time to get any of that.
And then we got played. Call of Duty code.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got Bayonetta code.
Bayonetta code. You still playing Rabbids?
Yeah, still chipping away at that, still loving it. Still, I think it's up there as one of the best games I played this year. Still a great game.
Just doing its thing.
But yeah, we've had to bounce between a bunch of things just so we can chat about them. So first off, I think the biggest one here is easily God of War.
Yes.
I've only played about 3 hours of it. You've played much, much more.
Sorry, your screen froze. Hilarious. Oh, no. Let me just fix that quickly.
You've played much, much more than me, but as per the guidelines of the embargo currently in place, we are only allowed to talk about essentially the first 3 to 4 hours or kind of where I am.
I think it's like 4 to 5 hours.
Yeah.
Which is
and
enough
it
time
feels
to
like
get
it's
a...
just where the game is starting to kind of open up.
Yeah,
sort of like if you've played the first game, it's not really at its Lake of Nines moment, if that's...
No.
Yeah.
Yeah,
personally, I don't even know if that moment ever comes because I haven't got further than this, so...
Yeah, but I mean, just to recap, and the original God of War was very, not hand-holdy in a bad way, but like literally a linear, this is how the game works,
for a long
time. Story beats for a long time before, like you said, Lake of the Nines appears and then the game kind of feels like it opens up.
That thing only happened like 7 hours in, which was insane.
It was pretty far
in. It was like, oh, this is the start of the game. Okay, cool. I get it. So going into this, firstly, we can't show footage.
But I have a loophole. I can show trailers, surely.
I guess so. I mean, that is a trailer.
Bam! footage for you video watchers.
I knew going into this that it would be cool. This is God of War. We've established what the new take on God of War is in the previous game. And now Ragnarok is kind of just an extension of that. It's a bit more. I don't mean to sound negative when I say it is that game, but more. It is like, no, it is that game refined in a way. Yeah. That's the sense that I've got from it so far. It's it's familiar, but it is honed in on what makes it good.
But it's interesting because I think leading up to, well, when this game was first revealed and, you know, in the months, I suppose the year that followed, because it was revealed quite a while ago, I think you and I had the same sort of concerns of you can't just, you know, is it just going to be more God of War? I think that was our discourse. And not only just us, I think everyone's like, you know, God of War 2018 is such an iconic reinvention of this franchise. How do you top that?
Yeah.
And in the opening hours, I had this thought of, like, why do I put that expectation on it? Because God of War 2018 is great. I had every intention to replay the original before diving into the sequel, but yeah, time just slipped away from me to review games. But playing this game, I'm like, shit, yes. Like, God of War 2018 is so good. Like, I don't really think they need to change much. Like, of course, in terms of story, whatever, we're going to get new beats. I'm sure there are twists and surprises throughout the game. But in the opening hours, it really feels like you kind of just, you almost pick off where you left off, if that makes sense. You just, you know how the game works. And if you don't, like, they do onboard you with, you know, some basic tutorial stuff. Mm-hmm. But Kratos still has his good axe. You've got the Leviathan blade, the Chaos Blades pretty Leviathan early in the game. Leviathan axe and the Chaos. And it's actually quite funny because it can be a bit overwhelming at first because you're like, oh my God, I have so many options from the get-go.
I definitely felt that at the beginning because it kind of throws you in with like the expectation that you've played the first game firstly, that you played it and that you're familiar with it still. Because it's like, you've still got these weapons and you need to know when to swap between them and how they all work. And it does feel slightly overwhelming at first. But then it's like I feel like it's not sloppy, but like it's far less like in-world the way that it introduces a lot of the stuff to you. A lot of the stuff, it's like popping you to a menu, which is fine. Yeah. It just felt a bit jarring. And I think that's because they're like trying to relay tons of information to you.
They have to fast track it. Because I mean, one of my favorite things of the first game is how the damn controller got so much use. Like, I couldn't believe the further I got into the original game, the more stuff I was unlocking. And then it's like, okay, now you need to push this to do this. So like a good example is, okay, you've got Atreus, he can attack, tap square to have him attack. Mm. Okay, now he's got a summon ability, so you hold square, he'll do something else. Mm-hmm. And it drip fed you the stuff very well in the original game. It just like kept expanding and expanding. And in the opening year, it's like, you can do all of this stuff just about. Here's pretty a lot much, of menu stuff. Yeah. This is how it works in case you forgot it. And like, yeah, you're right. It does pull you out a bit, but I think they're just trying to fast track you because like, I don't know how you do it any other way. Like,
in terms of narrative, it would
be funny if they pulled the, you know, like that of every classic God of War of like, oh no, Kratos has lost all his god powers again.
I'm so glad
again.
That they didn't do that because I was wondering like, because that was a big thing because it's like, if this is continuing on, like surely they're not going to be like, oh, Kratos and Atreus just fucking forgot everything they learned like a few months ago. Like, surely not. And they haven't, which is good. But I can see how challenging that is now. Like, cool, we need to onboard potentially new players to this entire system that has been defined in a previous game. And also remind, you know, returning players that, yeah, this is the stuff you could do. Because it's been 4 years since you last played this game, potentially. It's good though. Yeah.
Oh yeah, all that said, it is a God of War sequel. Mm-hmm. It feels and plays very similarly, but I think you're right. And like even saying it's refined, I'm like, is it? Because 2018 was so good.
Yeah, anyway. There's not like, much there to refine.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't tell you, oh, they've done this and that just drastically improves things, whatever. But it is that good combat. So in terms of narrative, Atreus is a little bit older. He's
much taller.
A vibing teenager now. living his best life.
Do they actually define how much time has passed since? It seems like just a couple of months. Like, I don't think it's been that long.
No, because he feels like he's aged a fair bit. So, like, I don't think it's been years, but it hasn't been like 6 months. Maybe it's like a year or two. Again, don't hold me
could
to
be.
That.
They don't. But I don't think they specifically define that. So, unless we missed that in marketing or some shit, I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, it's real good. Like, those opening hours again, it's a thing of, I was expecting, like, oh my God, what are they going to do to like blow me away? But playing it, I'm like, they don't need to. Like, this is more of what I enjoyed from the original game. And the original game was really good. Like, one of my favorite games of all time. Again, like, I don't know, like, what twists are happening. Like, I know I've played beyond what I can share in the preview, but there's still things I'm dying to have questions answered. So I'm very eager to see how the story plays out, because this is public knowledge that this is the definitive end to this saga. Yeah. This isn't a trilogy. The story ends here, and what they do with it, we don't know. Like,
they've said this is the end of the Norse saga.
The Norse, yeah. So where do we go next? Who do we go with next? Like, I don't know.
Which gods do we go piss off next? Roman gods?
Which gods do we go piss off? Oh my God, Roman gods will be very similar to the Greek gods.
Indian gods?
I don't know. There was a stage when Egypt was in the cards before.
Egyptian gods? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see Kratos go toe-to-toe with fucking Ra, the sun.
Yeah, but I think we can't share too much beyond that. I think our initial impressions, it's exactly what we've said. Game feels good. It's fun to play. But we will have a review in line with the embargo. I don't know if we can share that, but... if not,
I'd rather just not. Yeah.
In case
considering how this embargo has been broken so many times already, I'm just not going to like even bother.
Yeah, that account that's been sharing screenshots and stuff, not me. Can guarantee not me. Where's my proof? It was nice to get this code early, and I'm grateful because I think this game is long.
Yeah, I mean, the sort of hours you've put in have kind of like surprised me, because I seem to recall the first game being that long. I guess it also depends on how much side content you engage in.
Too much.
But yeah, it means I've got a lot of catching up to do, put it that way.
Yeah.
But it's, like you said, it's I'm having a good time so far. It's familiar in a good way so far, but at the same time I can see the little pockets of improvement, like the combat's been improved, I think. A lot more options for you to play around with, so enemy variety's improved. It also feels more challenging. I mean you're playing on a harder difficulty to me. I'm just playing on the stock standard one, and boy, I'm just like, am I shit at this game? Like, I don't recall being this bad at it previously. What the fuck is going on?
You'll find that the more you play, and I know this is like a dumb, very obvious thing to say, but like, the more you play, the better you'll get, and or the more you'll remember that muscle memory. Because I had the same thing. So I'm playing on, I think the difficulty is called, like, literally give me God of War. It's like, oh my God.
Oh my God. That's like the hardest one.
The hardest one. So I'm getting hit once or twice and dying. So I was dying a lot, and I still continue to die a lot, but
that's not for
it
me,
is amazing
fam,
how... Sure. I love it. It's too good. But I do find that the more I play, the more muscle memory kicks in, where I'm doing things, I'm like, I didn't even think that, it just happened. Because like, I'm now remembering, oh, this is how I do this combo, or this string of attacks really works well against this enemy, whatever. I think the game is challenging, but yeah, over time you learn to use all the options they give you, because boy, there are options. What's his face? Kratos doesn't say boy as much.
I know.
I don't even know if he said it once in those first few hours.
Don't think so. I mean, I don't think he has.
It is nice in the opening, like literally the opening moments. There's a part where Atreus walks into like call his father, and they get on the sled and they ride off. But just before they get on, Kratos puts like his arm on Atreus' shoulders, like, oh, like he's a father.
Like, none of that bullshit from the first game where he's like slowly reaching out and like not.
Like how far we've come. Like, there's definitely I mean, you'd expect it, obviously, because this is set slightly in the future, but there are mm-hmm. instances of the relationship has
there's a lot matured, of growth, but
yeah, there's a lot of growth, but obviously with it comes some complications.
Of course, yeah.
Trace is a teenager-ish. Mm-hmm.
He's also, you know, the things he found out at the end of the first game were quite like transformative to what he thinks his future should be. And exactly. So, you know, it kind of like shapes who I think he is and what he's looking for. And Kratos, I think, obviously, you know, being very protective as a father is sometimes very resistant to those sorts of things.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Also, the opening is fucking sad. Oh my God.
Writing is great. Still peak.
10 out of 10 cried at that opening. Holy shit. Jesus.
I came left field.
Just fucking came out of nowhere and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Right in the feels.
It's good.
But yeah, we'll definitely have a lot more to say in the near future. So yeah, keep an eye on our social channels. Or just come back to our YouTube channel. Like and subscribe. Thanks.
Look at that mid-show plug.
Shh, don't tell anyone. But yeah, so that's the early hours of God of War Ragnarok. It's out November
11th? Yeah, so it's soonish.
I don't know. It's got different launch dates around the world. I think like New Zealand, it's the 8th or 9th of November, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I don't know. Don't quote me on this, but yeah, it's coming soon.
Yeah, like I think it's not this week. It's next week, Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. You have been playing
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2022. Because now if you go onto Steam and you look at Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, there's two versions and they both have dates next to them because clearly Activision hates SEO and everyone who does it. So,
love it.
Yeah, this is I was quite excited for this one because I liked Modern Warfare from 2019, the first reboot, a lot. I thought it was really, really like a fun campaign. Really good multiplayer. And the one since then, Cold War or Black Ops Cold War and Vanguard. Just I thought Cold War was fine. I thought Vanguard was fine, actually bad. Yeah, I just don't think they measured up. So I was like, cool, I'm ready for Modern Warfare 2 to kind of like reestablish, you know, how I felt about the series, you know, 3 years ago. Yeah. And I've finished the campaign now. It kind of doesn't do that, which is a bummer. I think it's still the best one in the past. If you have to compare it to Cold War and Vanguard, definitely the best of those three. I don't think it's as good as 2019, not even actually close, I don't think.
Sure.
But still a fun campaign with some really fun ideas. I think a lot of it is very much a, hey, remember that that mission from that old Modern Warfare? Yeah, we've got that here. You know, as in like there's a mission where you are in an AC like gunner ship and you're just shooting things with a thermal camera and just like watching shit explode. There is a very, very long sniper mission where you're in a ghillie suit, which is not really like all ghillied up from the first Modern Warfare, but it's kind of an homage to that, you know. It's way more involved. It's not as strictly linear. This one's a bit more freeform, which I kind of like. But it is definitely like, oh, remember that sniper mission, you know? Which is kind of what this whole reboot series has been about. It's just kind of been about like, hey, remember Modern Warfare? That shit was fun. So the first half, I'd say, of this campaign, and the campaign's only about 6 hours, which is normal. The first half of this campaign, I feel, is really weird because all of the missions are super short. Like, I'm talking about like 15-minute segments. And just to, you know, just when you're kind of like getting to grips with things and you're like, cool, this feels fun, they just end. And you're moving on to like a completely different locale with a completely different like setting and sort of theme for the mission. So it felt very weird to kind of get a sense of like what, like get a sense of the feel of the game and just what it was trying to do. And then in the latter half, it kind of readjusts it. The missions become much, much longer. Like, for instance, that stealth mission is like, geez, probably close to like 40 minutes, almost an hour, depending on how long you take.
It's like of the campaign.
No, it's really cool because, again, it's one of the few missions in the game which are freeform. They kind of give you this open space and let you tackle it in any way that you want. So you've got like a base and there's enemies there and you can pick them off in whatever order you want. But you have to move and shift around for some targets because some targets you need to line up to have one bullet hit two people. You need to take into account like the wind and whatever, and you still got to be stealthy. And then once you've killed everyone from afar, then you're sent in alone to kind of like infiltrate the base. And you can do things like jump up on the roofs of warehouses and throw tear gas into the vents to get everyone out of a warehouse before you engage them. Or you can just rappel down from like the windows, or you can go through the like a door in the side and be stealthy. So it's kind of cool. Like, cool. I like that. Yeah. I think that's where it's like, cool, this is Call of Duty, but it feels different in a very fun way. And not enough of the missions do that. There's another one later on in the game where you're kind of, you don't have any weapons on you and you're very injured and you're in like this town, almost like a favela. And you're like jumping from room to room, kind of trying to avoid enemies, and you're scrounging for resources like tape and metal and stuff like that to make small tools that you can use to like break locks or create makeshift smoke bombs and stuff like that. And that's such a cool mission. I thought that was like really, really fun because it is such a, it's the Call of Duty is very much like a power fantasy. And that strips it away completely. And it's like, no, if you get seen, you're fucked. Like, you're not dead immediately. It's not like a fail state. Oh, you know, you got spotted. It's more like, you can get out of this, but it's going to be difficult. And even then, when you finally get a weapon, you have very limited ammo. So you have to use your weapon wisely. You still have to employ stealth. Very, very fun. I think those missions kind of like stand out because they're different in a cool way. The other ones, a lot of the other ones, they're okay. I think the straightforward action ones are very much Call of Duty fare. And I think they're fine. I like the wrinkle of they've added a lot of armored enemies. I was playing on the standard difficulty, but they add a lot of armored enemies who only take damage when you hit them in the head. So when they're thrown into like a bunch of other people, it becomes very difficult to kind of like target the correct number, the correct enemies in the correct order before you get overwhelmed. So I would say this is one of the more challenging ones I've played in a while, in a good way. Like, it was a fun sort of challenging. But yeah, it's like, there's a lot of good. I have huge problems with like the story. Yes, there's a story in Call of Duty. And because I think the reboot established things so well. It kind of reset the whole timeline and it kind of showed like, yes, they're going to retread some familiar ground. Yeah, but in a different way. But like, for example, the sort of big bad that they tease at the end of the 2019 game is the same one they tease at the end of here. So I'm like, what were you doing in this game? Yeah. So it's a bit annoying on that front. It's like, it feels like the story just spins its wheels for like 80% of it. And then it's like, oh, we kind of need to conclude. And then there's a twist and that's it. Boom. There's a twist and 3 missions later, like the whole campaign's finished. And you're like, what just happened? Like, so.
But damn.
It was kind of weird from that sense. But I still had a lot of fun. And I'm very keen to hop into the multiplayer. I've played a match here or there and the multiplayer is great. I think the multiplayer is really good. I played the beta and the beta was a lot of fun. So I think, I think just like 2019, I'm going to stick with this multiplayer quite a bit because it has the right balance of like the weapons and the perks and the maps feel really like tight and well-designed and I like it a lot. So
I'm very keen to do both campaign and multiplayer because I've only played literally the opening mission. Well, technically the second mission, if you want to get into the nitty gritty.
That opening mission is like 30 seconds long, man. and it's literally on the mission select. It is fucking ridiculous.
It sets up the whole game. One thing that stands out for me is, so I never played the Modern Warfare reboot. I just missed it. This game is visually like gorgeous, which is very surprising to me, because not that Call of Duty's always look good, right? But you know that they look good and they're made to run that smooth 60 FPS because, you know, that's it's a competitive shooter and they just want to keep hitting that benchmark. But holy shit, some of the environments here are like proper photorealistic.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see it's a game, right? But the walking through that opening mission where you walk through that canyon, I was like, oh my God, it's the lighting, the sand kicking up is just really, really pretty.
And I'm sure you've seen that video of later in the game. Well, it's not even that much later in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And like, I was waiting for that because I was like, oh, I actually want to see if this looks as good in person. And yeah, it fucking does. It's kind of insane.
So I don't know. This is cross-platform still, right? You can play it on PS4 and Xbox One.
I think that's true. Yeah.
So I don't know how these games look on last gen, but on modern gen, they look great. So our footage is all on PS5 and it's safe.
Well, even on the... So 2019 launched before the new consoles did, and it looked...
Yeah, so I have a feeling this is cross-gen. I don't see them cutting off the player base yet.
I mean, this game, this is part of the reason why, if I'm not mistaken, all future games after this one, they're all running on this engine. And I think that's not because it's, oh, it looks the prettiest. It's because Warzone needs to be on one fucking engine. Like them getting things from Call of Duty Cold War into Warzone was an absolute nightmare because it was running on Infinity Ward's
different engine.
So, but Infinity Ward like put a lot of work into this engine for the reboot. There was a massive deal made at the time of like how the fidelity of this is like super, super high in a sort of scary way. Because there's like there's a mission in 2019 where you're doing like a house like breach very slowly and it's all in night vision and it's like, ooh, this kind of looks like fucking body cam footage type of thing, you know. This is kind of weird. But that's the sort of like fidelity they are hitting here. And I think you're right. This game looks really good, like really, really great. It's just beautiful, like beautiful in a way that yes, this is war. This game is like a war simulator, and lots of bad shit is happening. But like, if we're just talking polygons and lighting and everything, it's fucking
super
great.
Pretty,
yeah, especially if you're playing on like an HDR display, it's something else. It's nice. One of the few engines that takes into account. This is real nerdy shit, but HDR HDRG. Tone mapping on HDR displays. It's one of the few games that actually uses it, so it looks really good. Like, yeah, it looks pretty great.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm keen for you to play the campaign and kind of fucking share decipher my thoughts, what the fuck's going on. I mean, it kind of it actually doesn't really require knowledge of the first game, to be honest. If I'm thinking about it, like, there's nothing really aside from members of the team. Because obviously the first game, they all meet for the first time.
Yeah.
Like Price and Gaz meet for the first time. And so
just about knowing the names, really.
Yeah. They do.
I played the first 2 years ago.
I had a good laugh in the one mission. You're in like a Mexican cartel and you're playing as Soap and you're like captured, for lack of a better word. And they ask you your name and you say Soap. And the guy replies to you in Spanish and he's like, what fucking name is Soap? And I was just like, oh, Captain Price says that in like the very first fucking game. Like it's like so it's literally like a little, word for word, the exact same line. I was like, hey, I see what you did there.
I like stuff like that.
Yeah, nice little callback. I had a good laugh at that, I won't lie.
Nice.
That's good. Yeah. Soap's still got a terrible haircut.
Who would have thunk? Still
his dumbass mohawk.
Very Scottish. Yeah. He's Scottish. Eh?
Very Scottish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Soap McTavish.
McTavish. Yeah. Cool. So that's Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Just the campaign. I think we'll
talk just the
about
campaign.
The
I'll chat more about the car. Yeah. The multiplayer. There's also a co-op component. And then obviously Warzone. 2.0 that's coming out like later this month. I think the 11th of November or something.
Could you? I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I could download the files for Warzone.
You can. Already. It's just not online.
But you just can't play it. Okay. Yeah. I was like, hold on.
Yeah, why that, giving that me the game, option to do this? I mean, this on PS5 just highlights how much better smart delivery is. Because, boy, it was like, cool, do you want to download the game? Oh, also, he has these 20 add-ons. Some are for PS4, some are for PS5. And I was like, what?
Like, what?
Like, now I have to, to go filter through which ones I should download. Like,
hate to
it's
see
dumb.
It.
It's stupid. It's a dumb system.
Love it. Cool. That's Modern Warfare 2. Before we move on, though, I think we are going to just touch very briefly on... Well, not, it doesn't have to be brief, but we've both been playing a little... I don't know when this card game came out.
It was recently. It was like 2 weeks ago, I think.
Was it?
Or a week ago. Hold on.
I saw you guys talking about it, and then before I knew it, it was just everywhere. Everyone's like, wow, Marvel
it came
Snap,
out
what a
on,
great game.
No, that can't be right. It says 9th of June. That can't be right.
No ways.
There is no way. Maybe it was put like a soft launch on... Let me see on Steam when it came out.
Oh, is it on Steam as well? I was going to ask if it's
October.
Just mobile. Okay. I was going to ask if it's a mobile-only thing.
No, it's... Well, it's labeled Early Access on Steam.
Oh, on Steam, okay. So, if you did not know, Marvel Snap, is a new card game from aforementioned Marvel, which basically has a whole lot of cards based on your favorite heroes doing things in a very clever card game, I feel.
Yeah.
Very, very easy to learn. Games are super quick, like,
I haven't had a game longer than like 5 minutes, I don't think.
No. 5 minutes, I'm like, no ways. That's too long. It's super long. It's a very simple concept in that there are three lanes. I think that's, if that's the correct term, but for lack of a better term, it's three sort of playing areas for you to put your cards down.
Yes.
And the objective is to get the most power on those, on two of those three lanes to win the game.
Yes.
But it's very clever in that there are certain, what's the right term? Modifiers, I guess. So for the first three turns, you have areas in the middle of the board, one is revealed per turn, and they will do certain things to that specific lane or to the whole game as a whole. So for example, you might have a card that says like, in this lane, cards can only be played on turn 5.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to now think, oh, okay, like let me save X amount of cards for that specific turn to try and win that lane.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the whole game happens so quickly. You have a whole, is it six rounds? Is it six rounds?
Six rounds, yeah.
And
you only get one
to,
energy per round. So you collectively only ever have six energy. There's a certain strategy to like, do I play cards this turn? Do I wait? You know?
Yeah.
It's super clever. I think it's exactly like you said, it's so easy to kind of understand. And I think the game does a good job of laying on the mechanics quite slowly.
Yes.
But then, you know, everything just kind of like clicks into place and you start seeing like how cards synergize. So, if you're watching the video here, you can see on Matty's middle lane, he's put down four cards, so he can no longer put cards down there as well. So you've got to think about like, do I overcommit too much to one lane?
Yeah.
Then you might potentially have a problem later on when someone wins a lane by having one card there with one power, you know, just because you didn't put anything down there. So
yeah,
it's a cool balancing act.
I also like that it makes me think of poker in a sense of in poker you can bluff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here it's a thing of you trying to make your opponent think you're doing one thing while trying to read what the heck your opponent's planning.
Yeah.
So for a good example is there are some cards where Star-Lord, I think all of the Guardian cards have this mechanic where if you play a card in a lane, you'll get more attack power if your opponent also plays a card in that lane.
Only on that turn though.
Only on that turn, yes. So becomes a thing of like, oh, okay, it's turn two. There's still three open lanes. Like, where would my opponent play this? Or I know I'm like, hang on, my opponent might have Star-Lord. Let me put my card in an obscure place. and it's funny because there are times I'm like, damn it, like they read me. Like, why would they ever put him down there? But it's because I'm also trying to play big mind games here. And it's just fun. There's that aspect of trying to outthink your opponent as well. Because like you said, if you have a full lane, if you fill up a lane too quickly, it's like, okay, I've got four low-cost cards in this lane, so I've got high power now. But your opponent could just throw down one or two high power cards and just dominate the lane, and you can't react to it, if that makes sense. So it becomes a very clever like thing of trying to plan out, okay, I need to kind of dominate all three lanes, and then towards the end, sort of go all in and know where I'm going. You know, like, oh, that lane's lost, but it's fine. I can still win the other two.
Because you can kind of see, you're like, okay, cool. On turn six, at least where I am now, like people 9 times out of 10 are playing the Hulk. Because that's a like a cost six card,
or Iron Man.
Or Iron Man, because then he doubles.
Yeah.
So they're playing one or the other, but that means they can only play that card that turn. So like if they are losing two lanes by turn six, then you've basically won. Because there's no way they can turn around two lanes with one card. At least not with cards that I've seen yet, you know. But it's cool that I think the modifiers are such a neat aspect.
It's
because
a clever
they make each game different. Like
each
lane is suddenly different in every single game. Like I played one which was really cool where the first player to fill up that lane got a cost six card and got to play it for free. And after turn two, my opponent just stopped bothering with that lane. And I found that like was kind of weird because I was like, like a zero cost, you know, normal six cost card is kind of, and that's the reason I won the game is because I got one that was kind of ridiculous and I got to play it for nothing. So it's cool how the middle units, like they change everyone's strategy and the way people see the strategy. So
Also, there's a lot. Like, I feel I very seldom see the same area. So those middle modifiers are basically based off, you know, iconic Marvel areas or cities or whatever.
Yes.
And it's quite cool how I think that they tie them in. You know, it kind of makes sense. Like, if you're looking at the footage now, there's the negative zone, which straight up just lowers the power. Oh, I got a message from Lenska there. Which straight up lowers the power of the cards that are played there.
Yes.
I feel that there's so many locations that, you know, the games always feel different.
Yeah,
just definitely. Because there's just so many. And you never know what combination of them you're going to get.
And then the art in the game. I mean, maybe this shouldn't be too surprising given it's a Marvel property, but man, the art for the game is just so good. I think the art on the cards is really good, and then when you upgrade the cards, they do things like frame break, and then when you upgrade again, they become like 3D and holographic, and you can do all sorts of things with skins for cards. It's pretty great. It's really cool.
But also on that, I mean, I think we can just briefly touch on, so you know, this game is free to play, but you can put money into it if you want.
It's got a preliminary battle pass for now.
I haven't played enough to know, you know, like, oh my god, like the good cards have been hidden behind a paywall. But I feel that at the rate I'm unlocking stuff and doing challenges, it's good. Like after every game, I feel like I'm unlocking something or ticking something off. And it's just really nice. Like I've got a pretty decent deck, I feel. And I haven't played up against anyone who I'm like, oh my god, I know those cards at the end of the battle pass. I can't believe they've unlocked it already. Like they must have paid their way here or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's that aspect to keep in mind. But at the moment, it does feel like it's somewhat fair. I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but that's
no. I think that's right. I think that's, I haven't brushed up against anyone yet with stuff that seems outlandishly far ahead of where I am. Just anecdotally, I've heard a lot of people saying that there is no real wall for that sort of thing, and that the game so far feels pretty fair in terms of progressing without money. We'll see how that goes, you know, within the next couple of months, because I mean, if you had to really do it, Hearthstone was like that for a very long time. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, at the end of the day, the game is made to make money. Like people don't make games out of the kindness of their hearts. So, you know, I'm of the opinion that if you're enjoying the game a lot and you feel like you want to pay for the battle pass, then sure, you know, it is something that is giving you a lot of enjoyment for free. I just think for now it feels very, very fair. So that's pretty cool if you just kind of want to dip your toes in and have a good time. I'm having a great time with it. I think it's a really cool game and it runs really nicely on phones. So, it's good.
Mobile and Steam, as you said.
I wonder if it's on Marvel. Switch. That'd be cool.
Oh my God. Well, I don't know why they didn't call it Marvel. Thanos Snap.
Thanos Snap. No, it's only iOS, Android, and Windows.
This game would be great on Switch. Just put it on there. Just give it to us on Switch. Cool. That's it. That's Marvel.
Snap-a-rooney.
Get on
Snap-a-rooney. Yes. That's how they say it, for sure.
That's how they say it.
Internally, that's definitely what they're calling it.
It was codenamed Marvel Snap-a-rooney. No one would ever figure that out. but that's all we have been playing this week, and it does not stop. We'll have a lot more to talk about next week.
Yeah, already. Already
the week
exactly
after.
What we'll
and the
be
week after.
Chatting. I mean, next week we'll be chatting about God of War. So, because we can actually talk about it completely. So,
yeah.
Obviously, I don't think we'll be like, cool, we're going to spoil everything in this game because, you know,
it'll just be our final review of the game. Yeah.
Should we move on to what's out this week then, just real quick?
Yes.
So this is games releasing from October 29th up until it would be what, November 4th, I think? Nope, 5th. Fourth.
Good Lord.
Even then, so much. Let's see. We've got The Past Within, PC, iOS, and Android. Wandering Duelist, coming to PC November 2nd. Shatter Remastered Deluxe, coming to all consoles and PC November 2nd. Doraemon, Story of Seasons, Friends of the Great Kingdom. Guys, please. What's going on here?
Please. What's stop going throwing on here? Darts at the board here, picking random.
PC, PS5, and Switch. That's a strange combination of consoles. So not PS4, but on Switch and only on PS5. That's peculiar. The Chant, PC, PS5, Xbox Series, November 3rd. King's Hunt, Steam Early Access, November 3rd. The Entropy Center. Nice. This looks freaking cool. I don't know if you've seen footage of this game, but it's like a puzzle game that reminds me. It doesn't remind me of Portal, but it's got that sort of vibe to it. But it's about like manipulating time. It looks sick. Okay. It looks really, really cool.
Nice.
So that's out on PC, PlayStation, old and new, Xbox, November 3rd. Honey, I Joined a Cult, official launch, so I guess coming out of Steam Early Access, November 3rd. From Space, this is PC, Switch, and Stadia.
I mean, Stadia's dead. Goodbye. What's going
That's
on
unfortunate.
Here?
Outshine, coming to PC November 3rd. Desperate, Vladivostok. PSVR. What? Okay. That's interesting. November 3rd. Space Tale, Every Journey Leads Home, PC and Switch, November 3rd. Die by the Blade, PC, PlayStation, and Xbox, November 3rd. Everything. Ghost Song, PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch, November 3rd. Big Square Enix release for the week.
Harvestella
coming to PC and Switch, November 4th.
Do you like
get your farming
Crossing?
Some... Yeah, do you like Stardew Valley?
Stardew Valley, do you like Square RPGs? This looks like everything.
This is everything for you.
Everything all in one.
And then It Takes Two, making its way to Switch, November 4th. One of Matthew's best games of 2021.
I have no idea how this game will run on Switch. It must look interesting. Because obviously you have to play it on the same... Well, you don't have to, but you have to play it. You can probably play it on the same Switch. I wonder if you can play it remote, like, you know what I mean, co-op over the internet. Because you could with other versions of this game. But it's a split-screen game on the Switch. So yeah, interesting. It is a great game, though. Would
it
recommend.
Is a good game. I haven't finished it. I've played a bunch of it. I enjoyed what I played. I still need to get to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, they announced a new hero for Dota 2. That should be part of news.
News. Wow. We can,
launching early 2023. His name is Muerta, and he looks like a Day of the Dead ghost dude with guns.
Muerta. Oh, wow. It is like Day of the Dead.
Yep.
Nice.
Pretty sick.
Yeah. Oops, that is. Oops. That's the wrong thing.
Do you think they announced Artifact 2 at the International?
No? God, I hope not. That's cool. Who was the last hero they added?
Oh, bro, you're asking the wrong person.
No, what happened to your screen there?
I'm frozen again. God damn it.
This is a new Dota hero. That's cool. Who won International? Tundra?
Tundra something. Tundra well. Sports or Tundra Esports or...
Nice. Yo, the guns.
Okay,
there.
That's a pretty...
That's cool.
Sorry, we're just live reacting to a new Dota hero. Who would have thought?
Muerte.
Available early.
Good
was that the whole trailer?
Good thing it's not Muerte.
Oh my God. Tundra Esports. There it was. Tundra Esports. They won.
Oh, they won.
Completely
nice.
Wiped. Oh my God, my video again. No.
I know. You're so happy with the results. Every time I maximize the screen, it just
does.
But yeah, we're not going to get into the nitty gritty of news this week.
Sorry to
do this to you guys, but we are tired. It has been a week.
Yeah, it's been a long week, and it's also like five on a Sunday. Mm. Apologies for that. I don't even think there was that much massive news. I mean, off the top of my head, Helena Taylor making a bigger ass of herself by sharing charity groups that people can donate to instead of buying Bayonetta 3, of which it included an anti-abortion clinic. Or anti-abortion.
Nice.
Oh, a charity that donates to anti-abortion campaigning, something like that.
Yeah. She hasn't looked good in this whole saga.
One of the lead singers of Le Raw passed away. Or one of the...
I know.
Yeah. Hideo Kojima, very sad. It is kind of sad
Hideo
that
Kojima
the guy
passed
was early,
away.
Guy was early 40, so that's kind of
shit. What is that from?
Not sure. I just saw... in passing a tweet saying that someone, well, I don't know if it was the lead. Could you say it's the lead singer for Le Raw? What is Le Raw? Like, Le Raw is...
It's from Death Stranding.
No, I know, but like, do they have a lead singer? Like, I'm not sure.
I have no idea.
But yeah, it's kind of sad.
No clue. That is sad.
Yeah, it's very young. What else? I'm literally prattling off stuff off the top of my head.
Okay, off the top of your head? I don't.
Yeah, there's not much.
Wasn't anything like
there was a patch for Scorn that updated the game's save system. You're welcome.
Nice.
I'm joking. No. I'm pretty sure the devs are listening to a lot of feedback. Like, that's cool that they updated that so early. And
like this Alessandro Barbosa guy, oh my God, he wouldn't shut up about the save system. Just patch it in already.
Listen, in a way, it's like, I feel vindicated, but at the same time, I'm just glad that some people will not be frustrated by playing that game. Because I think there is stuff to enjoy in that game. There are certain things holding back a lot of that enjoyment, and I think the save system was definitely one of them. So good on them for getting that out super quickly.
Oh, there you go.
Batman Gotham Knights still sucks.
Wow. Is that
I try to play it again. I just can't, man. I went out on one patrol as Batgirl, and I was like, this traversal is awful. It is, I can't glide. I can only jump on things, and I can...
You can glide at some stage.
I can zip line to something, and I can press a jump, and 50% of the time, she will actually jump off that ledge.
Mm-hmm. Do you know,
I don't know
where I summoned this pencil from, but I have a pencil in my hand now.
Yeah.
Do you know that, so have you looked at the skill tree? There are three
branches. I have
branches.
Not even got that far, no.
Okay, so there are three branches of skill trees for each hero, and there's a fourth one, which you unlock by doing stuff.
Okay.
So I spent most of the game wondering, where the hell are my traversal options here? I can't glide, I can't spread run with Red Hood, which I've saw was memeified when that was...
Oh, when he's doing his stupid double jumps on
doing
mid-air.
Doing stupid double jumps. I was like,
where does he get that power from? Because he died once? Or like...
I had no idea. I did not know where the hell this came from until I rolled credits on the game. And
no.
I went to...
You rolled credits on the game.
I rolled actual credits, went to the Balfour, it's like, oh, there's a quick little side quest here to do something. And then I did it. It's like, your fourth skill tree is unlocked. And I was like, they do not explain that clearly, in my opinion. Like, at no point was it a thing of, you should really do this quest here to get some shit.
So wait, did you have no gliding the entire game?
No gliding.
Are you...
I was just ziplining and bat biking everywhere. Oh, it was
fuck
great.
That. Fuck
well,
that.
Well, in my defense, one of the first things I did when I could was unlocked all the fast travel points. So traversal wasn't that bad.
Yeah,
because
like, you could
oh,
just
the mission's
skip it.
There, I'll just fast travel there. Meh.
What I don't understand is like gliding. Like if you go back to Arkham Asylum, gliding is like one of the first fucking things you do. In that game, you're like,
I don't know why
you can glide
just
between
give it to
gargoyles. What? Mm. Why is that an unlockable skill in this one? When you've got an open world. Like, fuck,
one can
man.
Only wonder.
This game.
This guy's so mad.
It makes me it's irritating because it's just like, it's like things that are so, to me, at least, like basic. It's like, you've had three Arkham games that were open world. What did they all have? The ability to get around Gotham. What did they, you know, what were the things that you could upgrade? Oh, you could upgrade your grapple gun so it would reel you in faster or it would launch you. Those are additions to existing abilities you have. They're not the entire fucking ability. Like when you strip the entire ability away, like you can now no longer navigate like Gotham in an entirely whole, like insanity. I'm sorry. Just like who made that decision?
I don't know.
Also, here's this bike that looks like it's going 500 k's an hour, but it's actually 30 k's an hour. I hate this so much. How did you get this so quickly?
I have my means and ways. Those you don't know.
Oh my God. This is good. I like
angry
this.
Face.
You need to take a screenshot. This episode of the podcast
is
just,
we live
oh
for.
My God. If you're only listening to the audio version, you need to go look at whatever screenshot Matthew puts up for this action.
Let me just save this out. Yeah, we put an angry face in. That's great.
Sorry, I'm very angry. Gotham Knights makes me irrationally angry. I deleted it already. I'm just like, I can't deal with this game.
I'm going to keep that. Anytime you get mad about a game, I'm like, bam.
Just have it as a layer.
Whatever. Oh, it's like, this guy's so angry.
He's so triggered right now.
He's the maddest person in the world.
Yeah, sorry. That was my 5-minute rant on Gotham Knights and how it's just bad.
I'm just going to tweet this. Today's discussion about Gotham Knights has Alessandro irrationally mad.
Oh my God. Cool. Anyway, that's episode 205 of Checkpoint Chat.
We have a question.
Oh, sorry. We've got questions. If you want to send us a question, you can email us checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. You can message us on all our social platforms at Checkpoint Chat. Sorry about that.
Sky,
I do remember you told
Sky's
me.
About yeah. about to end the episode, right? Yeah. But you know what? In your defense, I did tell you I forgot to put out a question thing because I had a week. But we did have one come through on October 28th from Good Pal Malaysia. Asks,
oh, I do remember. Well, it was
first,
an email, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, he first yeah. says, Mariah Carey is upon us.
Oh, fuck's
Black
sake.
Friday, Cyber Monday is around the corner. What's your wish list for the silly season? Any upgrades planned or new toys? Personally hoping to grab the new Turtle Beach headphones. Mac Series works wirelessly on all consoles.
That's sick. I'm glad that in the past like year or two, we've suddenly got more options for that because for a very long time, it was only the Arctis 7s from SteelSeries. If you bought the Xbox version, then it worked on all consoles. If you bought the PlayStation, then it just didn't have the Xbox codec because Microsoft has their own audio codec. So I don't know. It's stupid. But I'm glad that there's more headphones like that. That's a good one to get because then you can just move your receiver to all your consoles and your wireless headphones work.
And that's it.
Headset
that's awesome.
Works, yeah. That's a cool one. Turtle Beach makes good stuff. So yeah.
What are you buying on Black Friday? What are you hoping to pick up, if anything?
This year, nothing, because like, you know what I would like on Black Friday? A better fucking exchange rate. That'd be great. Because like, boy, trying to convert rands to euros for our trip to Italy in December is a real fucking nightmare.
Italy is like, it's a Black Friday.
I think 2 months ago I panicked because it was like, oh, it's 16 rand to the euro. I've missed my chance to get euros cheap. It's now like 18 and a half to the euro. And oh, I just want to cry. I'm just like, oh God.
Well, good thing. Oh, did you not buy any back then?
I did buy. I didn't buy enough. I didn't have enough money to buy enough. That is a
ludicrous exchange rate. Damn. Sorry for your loss.
And you know what's worse is that all the accommodation is in euros. So as the exchange rate just goes high, I'm just like... Cool.
So you were staying any 3 to 5 star hotels you're planning on staying at are now 1 to 2 star. That 10-day trip is not real down to 7 days.
Yeah, it's like the price average of each night of stay is just astronomically skyrocketed. Like,
yeah,
it's, do you know it's what? Been
a vibe. It's a thing of, not to say like, you know, paying more money is shit. Like, don't get me wrong. But I think when Lenska and I went to the UK in December last year, our motivation of like just kind of like stomaching the cost we paid was like, we haven't traveled for a long time. And even in COVID, like, we didn't spend a lot of money. So yeah, just treat yourself.
Yeah. I mean, we're going. So it's like, it's booked and we, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, we're not going to be completely irresponsible about things. And, but like, you know, we made provisions to be like, this is the holiday we wanted for a couple of years. So we're doing it, whatever. So yeah, I would love that for Black Friday. That would be great. If I had no responsibility to go on holiday or responsible. if I had no
adulting is hard. Yeah. I've got to go to Italy.
If I had nothing else that I needed to actually save for, what would I get in the holiday season? I would like, you know what I would like is
a Steam Deck. Me too.
Well, no. Well, I'm getting one. It's on its way.
No. Yeah.
I would like one of those Alienware monitors that a good pal Mick got. That'd be very nice. Oh. The OLED widescreen ones. They're like super out of stock everywhere, but at the same time, even if they're in stock, they're like 20K. So they're a lot of money.
Yeah.
But boy, I would love one of those bad boys.
Kill for one of those. I'm in the fortunate/unfortunate position where I'm the worst person to buy gifts for, because everything I've had on my wish list for the past few years, I have acquired.
So you're like, I don't need anything.
I literally don't need anything. I've got nice monitors, I've got my Switch, I've got earphones, I've got headphones, I've got like, my life is hard, I know. But it is funny because, I mean, over the last few years, it was a thing of, I've got an ongoing Google Doc where anytime I needed something or wanted something, I'll just add it there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good place to just keep an eye on of like, okay, Black Friday's coming up. I have this thing on my wish list. Can I get it for a good price? Yes, no.
That's actually a good idea. Obviously, like keeping a list like that. Yeah.
Yeah, because Black Friday, you know, it's certain it's going to be a Black Friday, and our South African retailers are going to do a half job about it. Some will even start Black Friday in October, looking at you, Woolworths.
I saw that photo you shared.
Black Friday shit in October. I'm like, please get out
of here.
They're
like, Black Friday month. So you're like, you guys don't understand what days mean. God damn it.
I'm like, it's not even the right month. Like, come on, get your shit together. But yeah, it's helpful to keep a list like that.
I remember a while back you kind of did that.
For my PC.
Yeah, for your PC. You kept all the prices so you knew if things were actually on sale. It was quite a cool thing.
This PC must be going on 4 years old now. Is it 3 or 4? I don't know. I'd have to look it up. But that was the thing of like, yeah, I knew I had listed out all the components I wanted. And you best believe on Black Friday, I price checked all of our local retailers and even Amazon US, because you can get a CPU from there. It's small. The shipping's not ludicrous. And it was actually quite funny because I ordered most of my parts locally but I ordered my CPU from the States. My CPU arrived from the other side of the planet before my local stuff arrived.
I remember you're like, oh,
this is, I have this is CPU insane. Now. How did this happen? Like- How did this happen? It's crazy.
That's a good time. I would like a PC upgrade. I mean, I don't need one now. I would love to jump back to Intel, and their new Intel chips seem very good. But it would make no real tangible difference on the performance of my current PC anyway. So maybe in a gen or two, I'll make the switch. Yeah.
Goddamn. And that's it. That's all our questions. Look at us, hey. An hour, 10 minutes, didn't even do news. But that makes sense because news does normally take 30 minutes.
If you want to send us a question, you can email us checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us on all our social channels at Checkpoint Chat. But now, properly, that has been episode 205 of Checkpoint Chat. As always, if you've listened, thank you very much. We appreciate you and all of your support. And as always, we will be back next week with lots of other games to talk about. They just don't stop. They just don't stop. Have a fantastic week. Stay safe. Play lots of games. And we'll see you next time. Okay, bye.
Goodbye. Bye.